friends. For the moment when I came out, I thought that Sheen was going to be in darkness. Well, you heard the title, The Identity Crisis. Everyone today is very much concerned about being self. Shakespeare's quoted, "To thy own self be true." Without deciding which self one is to be. You see, I heard many a woman say, "I must now put on my face." Did you ever hear that? I heard of one who said, "I must now put on my eyes. I must now put on my lips." Well, is one the same person with a new face, new eyes, new lips, without them? Some women need only two things to make them beautiful, soap and water. Others need many other things. I heard of a man who had a choice to marry an opera singer who was very ugly, sang beautifully, and an uneducated cook who was very beautiful. He finally decided that he had better marry the opera singer because she would give him more prestige. So it was decided. First morning after the honeymoon, woke up, took a look at the opera singer, and he said, "For heaven's sake, sing!" See, he had a problem, too, the identity crisis. Much has been written about it, particularly by Erickson, and he restricted it to some extent to youth. But it is not a phenomenon that belongs to youth alone, this discovery of self. The young indeed have it because the young people do have a terrible crisis. A young person reaches an age where he wants to be himself. He separates from parents. "I want to be an individual," but at the same time, that he wants to be an individual, he wants to conform to what everyone else is doing. Wear the same clothes, talk the same language, love the same music. But old people have the crisis, too, of discovering which is self. The difference between the young and the old in an identity crisis is that the old in the identity crisis look back to deny the past and responsibility. And the young look to the future and deny the responsibility of the future. So both of them have trouble. Now I'm going to give you three kinds of identity crises. The point is, and this is the reason we've chosen this telecast, is one must be careful in seeking identity to discover which self one really is. And I think that today I will ask my angel to leave all the writing on the blackboard, unless I change my mind, so that you can see the three. The first kind of crisis is this, where a person wears the mask but has no face. That is to say, a perpetual phony. There was someone who wrote a poem some years ago. And the poem was about a woman who was always seen holding a mask before her face. She held it sprightly and gaily. And one day someone pulled away the mask. And there wasn't any face. She was just her sham. So some say they are their true selves when they're only the mask. Take, for example, an alcoholic. An alcoholic is completely identified with his alcohol. He will say, well, this is my nature. I can't help it. It's the way I am. Or an LSD victim. They never tried to get below that mask to discover their real self. It was just that made T.S. Eliot, the poet, speak of ourselves as being hollow men. Straw men. And he says that when the world ends, the world that's full of hollow men, it will end not with a bang, but with a whimper. Some keep this masquerade, this phoniness, this hypocrisy, so much before them that they would hardly recognize their true self if they met it. The Danish philosopher and theologian Kierkegaard told a very interesting story about a peasant who had saved up enough money to buy himself some new boots and new colored stockings. He came into town, bought the boots and the colored stockings. He had some money left, so he got drunk. And he threw himself in the curb. Funny how often drunks end in curbs, isn't it? I heard of one drunk who was walking along with his foot on the curb and the other in the gutter. And the cop came along and said, you're drunk. He said, oh, thank God, I thought I was a cripple. Well, this I'm sorry I interrupted the story. But at any rate, this drunk threw himself in the curb and another peasant came along with a cart and horse and he shouted to the drunk. He said, get out of the way. I'll run over you. And the drunk said, I don't care. They're not my legs. He didn't know himself with his new boots and his new stockings. And he was just so much his old self that he couldn't tell the new. And that's the way people are with a mask without the face. They have no care for others. As Peer Gynt, in the work of Conrad, said, the people are sometimes met in mental institutions. He said, they have no care for others. They live in a barrel of self. And are caulked with a bung of self. No concern, no love, no care. Like the priest was telling me some time ago, talking about not caring, about a former pastor years ago that bought a horse. And he said to the farmer, can it see all right? Oh, yes, he said. Sees perfectly. Can it run all right? Yes. So he picked up a stone. He threw it at the horse, ran like a racehorse. But ran right into a tree. And the priest said to the farmer, I thought you said that the horse could see all right. He says he does, but he just doesn't give a darn. Well, that's the way people are that wear the mask but no face. They have no care of others, no love of neighbor. They've lived in this make-believe world so long, and they say, this is my true identity. That's why one has to be so careful about saying, I must seek my identity. What kind of identity is one seeking? This kind of mockery has some bad effects. It has psychic effects, which cannot be ignored. There was a German war story told about a Jewish couple who had a son who was paralyzed. And they went to a neighbor and they said to the neighbor, we are Jews, we're going to be killed by Hitler. But we want you to take care of this paralyzed son of ours. We'll give you this house, we'll give you our property. But just care for him. The neighbor promised to do it. He killed the son, confiscated the property, and lived on it. And then a lump began to appear in the back of his neck. And he would press it, and it would come out on his forehead. And he'd press the forehead, come out on his chest. Press it there, it would come out somewhere else. So though people wear the mask, though they have this kind of makeup, they nevertheless are psychologically disordered on the inside. Until they discover their true self. But there's another step. And the second step is the mask that knows it has a face, though it is only a subconscious knowledge. See how good my angel is. He doesn't erase today. Remember other times I could go there and write something and immediately he would clean it. Have you ever been able to figure out why he doesn't erase some days? I'm not telling him. The angels are much wiser than men. And they're much wiser than anyone on a television show, too. Well, there's the mask that knows it has a face. I suppose a good example of this kind of identity crisis would be a woman who comes home from a ball, a dance. I didn't mean ball in the modern sense of the word. Dance. And she's been in evening clothes, has on jewels, and her hair was well adorned, her eyes, maybe her eyelashes made long, and so on and so forth. She comes home, the dance is over, and she sits before the mirror, looks at herself. Maybe she says, I'm beautiful. This is the real me. That's the bad grammar, but that's what she might say. This is the real I, if she were a school teacher, she would say, or came from Boston. And yet she knows that in a little while she's got to take off that makeup. She knows there's a face under that. Maybe she'll put on another kind of face. I heard of a woman who put on so much cold cream and oil that she slid out of bed every night. Sorry. Now, people that are in this state have not discovered their true identity. They suffer from a tension and a pull and a duality between what they seem to be and what they really are. And they know that the mask and the face are not the same. They know the way they appear to others is not the way they are on the inside. Now, what's Freud's explanation of that tension and that anxiety? Well, Freud says people are anxious and unhappy because they wanted to do something and were afraid to do it. Remember his language about the id and the superego? The id or the instincts and so forth. The id wants to do something and the superego says, no, and crushed it and they became very anxious. That's not the real reason. People have attention. People of this kind have attention not because they wanted to do something and didn't do it, but because they did something and wished they hadn't, which is very, very different. Now, let me give you an example of that. Because this is particularly common, this attitude, among the young. A boy and a girl in college went out auto riding. And the boy was telling the girl, "You know, it's marvelous how the world has changed. We're now in a universe of great freedom. All the old sex taboos have been done away with. We can put anything we want on the stage today. And on television. And furthermore, we do not have to obey any of the old moral laws simply because any of the consequences of sex have been done away with. Psychology has told us not to be worried. We break what was formerly called a moral law." And so he argues and argues with the girl until he finally breaks down her virtue. As he did in this particular historical case. It happened. On the way back, he said, "Now, let me give you a little advice. You must never tell anybody about this. Never. First of all, never tell the man you're going to marry. Don't tell any girls in the dormitory. They won't like you. Or they'll be suspicious of you. Or they'll tell other boys, and then you'll just become common property among all of them. Then watch yourself. Look out for venereal diseases. All changed." Why did he say one thing on the way out and another thing on the way back? It was the mask on the way out. It was the face on the way back. So people know they have a mask, even when they deny it. And young people, college people at this age, will sometimes become very aggressive in defense of the mask. And particularly against parents, when the parents correct them, they become very angry, much more angry than they should. And the reason is they're afraid of exposure. What are the parents going to do? Tear off this mask? There are many other characteristics of this age, but I see I have only 6 minutes and 28 seconds to tell you, so we'll not be able to develop it. Then, too, we might also say in this connection, this is a dangerous thing to talk about, and I'm not complaining against social justice. May God grant us all social justice, but it can very well be that sometimes people are interested in social justice to cover up the want of individual justice. They will plead a great love of neighbor in order to cover up the want of true love on the inside. So these are the masks and the face. Now we come to the third and the last. Third and the last stage is where there is a mask and no face. This is identity. Now we come to the real self, but this is hard. To tear off that mask. Tearing off that mask in order to be one's true self, getting rid of all shams and pretenses and make-believes, almost puts one in exactly the same position as the Israelites before they went into the Promised Land. The spies they sent out came back, and they brought news of great abundance. Here were the grapes that were carried on poles by men. This is the fruit and abundance of this promised land. But on the other hand, they were told the walls went up to the heavens, and the men were giants, and as thick as grasshoppers. They wanted to go in, and they were afraid to go in. And so one wants to tear away the mask, and one is afraid to do it. But the moment one becomes unacceptable to self, that's the point. Unacceptable to self, one begins to be very acceptable to God. This was brought out very well, remember, in the woman taken in sin. Here the Pharisees had found the woman in adultery, so they said. Just think of the snooping that went on, huh? To have caught this woman in adultery. And here they bring her to our Lord. They said she should be stoned, which was indeed the Mosaic law. So was he going to be just and have her stoned, or was he going to be merciful? If he was merciful, he would disobey the law. What did he say? He said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And he began to write, what we wrote, you do not know, we do not know. But he looked at them. I think he looked at one of them through the mask. And he wrote the word thief. Looked at another, wrote the word murderer. Looked at another, tore off the mask, and wrote adulterer. And they left. They left one by one, beginning with the eldest. That's interesting. It was the older men who first tore off the masks, not the young. The older, more convertible, evidently. The older passed through so much sham, they're ready to get rid of it. And then he said to the woman, woman, where are they that accuse thee? She said, they are not here, my Lord. And he said, neither will I. Neither will I accuse thee. So her mask was torn away, and so was their mask. Let the young, therefore, who are seeking true identity, be sure of the identity that they seek, that it's not a mask, and they'll never discover their real self until they've gone through the troubling of the waters. It's only then that paralyzed souls are cured, like Augustine. And then it is, when the mask is off, that one can say with Augustine, our hearts are restless, and they cannot find peace until they rest in thee, O Lord.
Bishop Sheen will return in a moment.
How long does time seem to last? Do you know how long I have now to say goodbye to you? Seconds are ticking away. Now they're coming to an end. Just 20, but it's enough. Bye now, and God love you.